You're listening to Turkish Football Weekly, available on the World Football Daily Club podcast feed. If you're a member of World Football Daily, you can go to the site and stream the show anytime to your computer, mobile phone, or tablet without having to download or sync anything. If you're not a member of World Football Daily, just search World Football Daily Club podcast in the iTunes store and download the World Football Daily Club podcast feed for free. Enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turkish Football Weekly for the week of September 5th, 2013. My name is Atı Dizdar, and joining me once again is Jeremy Chapman. Jeremy, how was your week?
Well, my week was fantastic, actually. It was a good week because I got out of town last weekend, which wasn't conducive to keeping up with Turkish football, to be honest. I wasn't able to watch any of the games like I usually do on the weekends, but I did get to explore the wonderful city of Madison, Wisconsin. So that was awesome. I recommend it to anybody, but I'm back in Indiana now, but a good week all around. How was yours?
My week was pretty okay. Just looking forward to the NFL season kicking off this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So that should be interesting there. I think the Ravens play tonight as we're recording this, actually, and the Redskins play on Monday night. But let's get...
Right, American football.
Yeah. But let's get to association football, the football the rest of the world knows. Let's go to the Turkish Super League. Week 3 started off on Friday, August 30th with these results. Kasımpaşa beating Konyaspor 2-1 and Eskişehirspor drawing Galatasaray 0-0. Saturday's results on August 31st, Elazığspor beats Kayserispor 3-1, Bursaspor beats Antalyaspor 2-1, and Fenerbahçe at home beats Sivasspor 5-2. So, looking at these matches, Fenerbahçe came back in a big way after they found out their ban was upheld by CAS. A big-time win for Fenerbahçe there. Very offensive match there, satisfying the Fenerbahçe faithful there. And I was kind of surprised with the Eskişehirspor Galatasaray result. There were the highlights I was seeing that, you know, Felipe Melo got the closest to breaking the deadlock. 59th minute, Selçuk İnan's corner headed down by Simikaya, but Melo's header right on the doorstep was right over the bar. And then in the 71st minute, Drogba's volley goes off the post. Eskişehirspor fails to clear, and then Wesley Sneijder's shot from the flare clearance was saved by Ruud Boffin. Özgürcek got a yellow for diving. That was pretty obvious there. And the other result on Friday, Kasımpaşa against Konyaspor. Kasımpaşa erasing a 1-0 deficit. Ali Çandıl'ı had scored for Konyaspor in the 4th minute, but Sanharib Malki and Ryan Babel scoring for Kasımpaşa to give Kasımpaşa the win there. And you look at Saturday's matches, Elazığspor, 3 straight goals to start off that match in Kayseri, and there was a torrential downpour down there. Deniz Yılmaz, Ahmet Görkem Gürk, and Özgür Özkaya scoring the goals for Elazığspor, while Zsa scoring Kayserispor's consolation goal in the 67th minute. And then Bursaspor also coming back from a 1-0 deficit. Milan Baros scoring the goal for Antalyaspor in the 4th minute, but Sebastian Pinto and Murat Yildirim scoring the goals in the 36th and 58th minutes, respectively, for Bursaspor. So we look at this, you know, surprisingly, Galatasaray did draw Eskişehirspor. Maybe wasn't that much of a surprise because we know Eskişehirspor is a pretty good team. But looking at these results, Fenerbahçe responds to the upholding of their ban from UEFA in a big way. And another note from the Galatasaray match against Eskişehirspor and Eskişehir, Fatih Terim returned to the bench. His suspension did conclude last week. So looking at these results, I mean, other than, you know, the obvious results for the big clubs, I mean, what stood out for you?
Man, it's sort of a different weekend than what we got used to with the first two match weeks. You know, we had 3 road victories this time, all in the first couple of days, like you pointed out. Just a massive win for Kasımpaşa in Konya, who had gotten off to that great start of the season by toppling Fenerbahçe, but haven't really been able to repeat the feat since. You know, Galatasaray and Eskişehirspor was a bit of a surprise, but I think everybody knew that was going to be a tough match. You know, Eskişehirspor, I think, might be a team to watch because they've kind of held their own so far. They got that home win against Bursaspor, and then they just narrowly lost to Fenerbahce last week. And then this time holding their own against Galatasaray, perhaps, who were a bit unlucky, as you seem to suggest. But I think Eskişehirspor will be kind of one of those teams to watch, as they usually are, as we've seen from recent seasons. And then Elazığspor, they were a team which was kind of lingering toward the lower half of the table much of last season, and they've really come out with a big win in Kayseri. And Fenerbahce, you know, I should speak to that. 5 goals in a match, winning 5-2 against Sivasspor. They couldn't beat Sivasspor last season. They lost to Sivas and drew Sivas in their two legs there last season. So a big 5-2 victory for Fenerbahce, who, like you pointed out, ever since they got the bad news, they've been kicking butt, just sort of sad in a sense because it's not going to be enough to get them into Europe even if they maintain form. But certainly they've got the fans and they've got the ability, as they've shown from these last couple of matches now. So I think from the looks of it, I feel bad that I was largely on the road Friday and Saturday because, at least from the highlights that I've seen, you know, exciting games and certainly none of these outcomes really seemed expected for my money. I really thought Antalyaspor would have been able to handle Bursaspor at home, given their history with home success, Antalyaspor. But it's a tough one. I'm certainly not going to start betting any money on these games the way things are going.
Well, just a couple notes from the Fenerbahce-Sivasspor match. There was a lot of talk about Bursaspor getting benched or sent to the reserves, obviously because of the foreigner cap rule. And he tweeted that he didn't know why he was being benched. And your boy Samuel Holman made his debut. Milos Krasic got loaned out to Bastia over last weekend. So your boy Holman got his first start and got a lot of rave reviews. And the Fenerbahce goals were scored by Dirk Kuyt in the 15th and 35th minute. Bruno Alves scoring in the 32nd minute. Pierre Weibo in the 49th. And Alper Potuk in the 89th. Sivasspor's goals were scored by Atif Şeşu and Cicinho in the 55th and 83rd minutes, respectively. So your boy Holman got rave reviews. So
yeah. Yeah, that's awesome to hear. Just to explain why he's my boy, back in the day when I became a huge fan of the Danish side Bomboot in Copenhagen, he was playing for them, and I saw him score a fantastic goal in the Danish Cup final in 08, and then, of course, he came to Turkey, and since I knew who he was, he's actually Swedish, but he plays on the international team as well for Sweden, but since I knew who he was, kind of followed him during his stint at Istanbul Büyükşehir Belediyespor. And nice to see him playing for a real club, if you will. And it's nice to see that that he's finally getting to play for Fenerbahce. I think he'll fit right in. And as a Galatasaray fan, I think it's bad news for us, but I think that's great news for Fenerbahce.
Yeah, and you know, people were talking about So's tweet before the match, but I think everything just got smoothed over, and I guess So and Coach Ersin Yanal are going to have a talk between each other. But other than that, I mean, we can move on to Sunday matches. September 1st results. Beşiktaş beating Gaziantepspor 2-0. Karabükspor beating Gençler Birliği 1-0. Çaykur-Rizespor beating Kayseri Erciyesspor 2-1. And Akhisar Belediyespor in a rout over Trabzonspor 3-0. I'm thinking that maybe Trabzonspor had a European hangover after qualifying. Now, we reported last week Volkan Şen, he was crying. You know, he apologized to everybody this past week. He was actually replaced in the 64th minute by Batuhan Karadeniz, but Bruno Mazenga in the 11th minute, Umar Niasse in the 62nd minute, and Kenan Özer in the 88th minute, scoring the goals for Akhisar Belediyespor there. But I think we should spend some time on the Karabükspor, Gençler Birliği, and Rizespor, Kayseri Erciyesspor matches. Ali Adnan's goal in the 7th minute, Eren Albayrak's goal in the 66th minute give Rizespor the win, while Bjorn Flemings gets Erciyesspor's only goal in the 76th minute. And Ali Adnan's goal, that was absolutely brilliant. And
It was
brilliant.
A cracker. I mean, it was just. Yeah, but watch that one. It's mesmerizing. Like it's one of those things where even after you talked that one up to me before I saw the highlight, and I thought like, oh, it's gonna be nice or whatever. I mean, you're still gonna be stunned. That's just a dream shot, really, from 30 meters at least. I mean, he's well outside the box, and he just lets it go, and it's. Even when you see it in full speed, your brain still kind of registers that one in slow mo. Like, it's just it's just watching a spaceship, re-enter the atmosphere and kind of do a weird maneuver of watching the ball sail toward the goal.
Yeah. Now, I got a little bit of a problem with Bjorn Flemmick's his first yellow card, and he got tripped up in the area. Yeah. And I think the ball just went away, and I saw the highlights of it. The second yellow card I didn't have a problem with, but the first one I did have a problem with. I mean, it just seemed as though I think it was Ali Adnan that tackled him, and he got a yellow for diving, Flemmick did. I just didn't think it was a yellow card. It wasn't deserving of a yellow card.
Yeah, look, man, as much as I like Chai Carrizespor, I almost have to agree with you. It's like, if it was Adnan, he did get the ball eventually. I mean, like, he kind of come. Well, first of all, there was sort of a defensive blunder, right? And Flemmick comes out with a huge advantage in sort of a quasi one-on-one situation. And he gets tackled really awkwardly. And yes, at the sort of the tail end of the tackle, the ball was contacted. But it, when I first saw it, and even after seeing the replay, it's kind of. That could have easily been called a penalty. I mean, for my money, it probably should have. And that's kind of a weird situation in football, right? Which is where, like, if somebody goes down in the box, you've got to call it one way or the other just about, right? It wasn't a dive. That's a fact. Like, there's no way that was a dive. That's the first fact. And if he hadn't called anything, I guess legally the referee could just not call anything, but that would have been a bit unconventional too. When I saw that play, I thought, oh, it's a penalty. But it wasn't, apparently, and then you could almost get over it until Flemmick got that second yellow, which sent him off, and then that kind of sent you thinking back about the first one. And right. Really, really unlucky for Kayseri Erciyesspor, who still haven't found a win this season. But they would have been happy with a draw, I think.
Right. Let's talk about the Kırklareli-Gençler Beer League match. Jimmy Durmaz, in the 24th minute, he had a really nice shot and came off the crossbar. Really unlucky. It was about 25 yards out. And Ilhan Parlak with the penalty kick goal in the 90th minute, giving Kırklareli-Gençler the win at the death. And Gençler Birliği coach Metin Diyadin was ejected from the game right before the final whistle. Obviously, how they have the corner if a team's ahead and they'll time waste and things like that. And I don't know, he was just angry about something and the referee sent him off. But I was looking at, the call for the penalty. Ante Klusic got ejected from the game. That was a second yellow. And I just really didn't see where the penalty call was coming from. I mean, it was just strange to me. Ilhan Parlak, good on him to get Kırklareli-Gençler the win, but I'm thinking, where was the penalty?
Well, Klusic comes in to defend a ball coming in sort of on a cross, and he's running in hard, and he kind of, as he jumps up for the header, he's sort of got his hands kind of like stretched out in front of him, which kind of to brace himself against the attacker, who he assumes is also going to jump toward the ball and cause a collision. But the attacker kind of gives up, I guess. And so it sort of looks like Klusic just kind of just runs up and sort of jump pushes him or something. I mean, I'm trying to explain what the referee must have seen, but weak sauce for a penalty, especially a game-deciding penalty kick, especially in a game where, it's not like the referee made a huge blunder of a call, at some other time in the game it was making up for it or something like that. It really got a feel for Gençler Birliği, who had just about pulled off a draw on the road, and then to kind of be robbed of that. Kırklareli-Gençler, they get the 3 points and they're looking really good in the standings now. They're undefeated, frankly. They're one of only three teams that can claim that. Beşiktaş and Galatasaray are the other two, in case you're wondering. But I don't know if they're going to be able to sustain that. This one was a gift of a 3 points, I think.
Okay. Well, I guess we could then move on to the Beşiktaş Gaziantepspor, Akhisar Belediyespor, Trabzonspor matches. I mean, is there really anything we need to say about, you know, the Trabzonspor match? I mean, they basically got walloped by Akhisar, and in the Beşiktaş match, 2 goals for Hugo Almeida in the 30th and 35th minutes sealed the deal for Beşiktaş. The 35th minute goal came off a penalty, and I've got to make a correction from a few weeks ago. I reported Mustafa Pektebek was going to be out for a while because of his ankle injury. He actually did play in this game. If you remember the tackle from Gustavo Coma in Trabzonspor when Beşiktaş played Trabzonspor in the season opener, it looked really nasty. But he replaced Hugo Almeida in the 69th minute. Almeida actually got injured, and we don't know exactly how long he's going to be out for. And one highlight was Beşiktaş youth product Mohamed Demirci had a free kick come off the post in the 90th minute. But for Beşiktaş, it's really ho-hum so far, 3-3. But for Trabzonspor, I think it was a little bit of a European hangover from qualifying from the Europa League. And we did find out who they will be playing in the group stages of the Europa League. We'll talk about that in our next segment. But for Beşiktaş, it's ho-hum. But for Trabzonspor, good Lord, I mean, what happened?
Yeah, right. You're saying they're coming off the high of you know, making it through to the next stage in Europe, and then they got that win the week before against that home win against Çaykur Rizespor. So far, Trabzonspor has just really struggled on the road. They don't have a road goal after two road games, and they're going to have to do something because. And to Akhisar Belediye's credit, I mean, maybe they're not the team that we saw last season that sort of narrowly escaped relegation. We were talking up Elazığspor a minute ago, and there they beat them in the first match 3-1 at home. So, I mean, maybe Akhisar Belediye is bringing a bit more of a game, but how long are we going to be able to make excuses for Trabzonspor if they continue this kind of performance? I don't know. Hope they turn things around, but I think right now they've got a couple of excuses, right? They, you know, focus on Europe and things like that. You know, they'll at least be playing at home in the next match, and so that seems to be a pretty big factor for them so far this season. Of course, it's really too early to make any real conclusive statements to that end, but I wouldn't push the panic button just yet on Trabzonspor. The loss for them was embarrassing, but a loss is a loss, and whether it's 1-0 or 3-0, I think we'll keep our eye on Trabzonspor, but I think they'll bounce back at least a bit from this.
When you saw the Beşiktaş Gaziantepspor highlights, the Manuel Fernandez's penalty call, I mean, he actually had his leg inside the penalty area, so you could say that it was the right call from the referee, but, you know, that sort of thing doesn't happen very often because he was on the edge of the box, outside the box, and then he puts his leg inside the box, and then the contact was made.
At least one of his legs was inside the box when the contact was made. It's one of those situations where I think when you sort of look at the replay and take out the straight edge and the compass and you do all the measurements, yeah, he was, I guess, technically inside the box. It's just everything about that play, I mean, the ball, the direction of the runners, I mean, it really wasn't a play that was happening in the box. It's just the rules of the game, man. I mean, it's really not right that should have been given as a penalty because I don't think the situation really warranted it. But it was a foul, and he was geometrically, I think, more of him was in the box at the very moment of contact. But you know, I feel like if the referee had called that right on the line, but just outside, I think that might have been more appropriate, and I don't think you would have been able to argue against it. But at the same time, I can't really argue with a lot of confidence against the call that was made, because the rules are the rules. The guy was mostly in the box when he was fouled. Yep. You know, it's painful. That's a painful one. Right. A tough one, but hard to argue I think.
All right, so I think that's going to end it here for our league review. I mean, if we take a look at the standings, I mean, Beşiktaş is in first place with 9 points. Karabükspor in second with 7. Third through sixth have 6 points. Fenerbahçe, Akhisar, Belediyespor, Kasımpaşa, and Rizespor. Galatasaray haven't lost yet, but they have 5 points with 1 win and 2 draws. So I guess we really can't judge anything based on the first 3 weeks going into the international break, but you know, for Beşiktaş they're looking pretty good so far. But again, I would like to say that it is early days, and we'll probably have a pretty decent idea of where people are going in maybe about, I don't know, maybe 3 to 4 weeks or so.
Yeah, no, I think we can't say much, like you say, but we can definitely say congratulations to Beşiktaş. I mean, 3 wins in the first 3 games. I mean, that's pretty much exactly what you want to go for. And I think it's really huge, obviously, for Slaven Bilic, their new manager, you know, to come in and impress like that. I think that's a really good sign for them. We'll see if they can keep it up, obviously. For those teams at the top, they're looking good so far. I'm really just hoping that that those bottom dwellers right now, those teams without a win, Antalyaspor, Kayserispor, and Gaziantepspor, can find some points in a couple of weeks when they play next.
All right, so that's it for this segment of Turkish Football Weekly. We're going to go into some news in our next segment. And also featured this week, we're going to have some discussion on the national team. But for right now, this break. Welcome back to Turkish Football Weekly. Let's get to some news going around Turkish football. You've probably already heard this, but CAS has upheld UEFA's 1-year ban on Beşiktaş, so Beşiktaş will be out for this season's European competition. Tromso will replace them in the Europa League, and as for Fenerbahçe, the replacement there is ApoEl. And let's talk about Trabzonspor's Europa League draw. They get drawn in Group J against Lazio of Italy, Legia Warsaw of Poland, and Apollon Limassol of Cyprus. So, interesting matchups there. It'll be the first time in about 19 years that Trabzonspor will play Lazio. And the last time they played, the competition was called the UEFA Cup back then. And they get a Cypriot team, which is interesting, and Apollon Limassol. I remember a few years ago when Trabzonspor was playing in the Champions League, I think it was in one of the qualifying rounds, they played Anorthosis Famagusta, and they lost in that one. And I just remember being on a message board at the time, you know, there was all just like, Cypriot team beat Turkish team, you know, all that. But their Trabzonspor's schedule for the Europa League group stage is as follows. September 19th, they play at Apollon. October 3rd, they play at home versus Lazio. October 24th, they play at home versus Legia Warsaw. November 7th, it'll be at Warsaw against Legia Warsaw. November 28th, Apollon comes to Trabzon. And they wrap it up December 12th in Rome against Lazio. So
basically, we have to wait a couple of weeks before we see them play, but only a couple of weeks. That's nice.
All right. And we've been tracking Konak Belediyes' UEFA Women's Champions League adventures. They had their draw, and they're going to face Polish outfit RTP Unia Racibórz. The first leg will be played either on October 9th or 10th, and the second leg will be played on October 16th or the 17th. Now, the winner there will play the winner of the Apollon Limassol Ladies Football Club from Cyprus against Neulengbach from Austria. And their initials before the Neulengbach is NESV. So that's an interesting name there for the team there. But yeah, Konak Belediyes facing a Polish outfit in October. So that should be interesting to watch there. And
yeah, they couldn't have gotten a better draw, to be honest. I mean, Konak Belediyes, of course, we mentioned a few weeks ago, are unseeded. Of course, they're the lowest-ranked team remaining in the competition. So they got drawn against a seeded club, But of all the teams they could have gotten drawn against, I mean, this Unia de Ratchaborg team is just they were sort of the lowest ranked of the seeded teams, and they're one of the teams which one of the only two seeded teams, I guess, which did not automatically qualify for the knockout stage by winning their league's championship. And in fact, they had to qualify just like Konak Belediyesi did in their group, which they did, getting two wins and a draw. So this is definitely a team that Konak Belediyesi stands a chance against, unlike if they had been drawn against the likes of Wolfsburg or, you know, a team like that. Or
Leon or Turbine Potsdam.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, or even Arsenal. I mean, they've got, you know, there are plenty of other teams which could have been really bad news for Canuck ability to see. So they lucked out in the draw. You don't seem to see that too often. And, you know, from what I saw of their Facebook page today, they're all very excited to play the Polish side. Of course, the first leg will be played at home in Turkey, but that second leg, they get to go to Poland, and they all looked very excited in the Facebook post for that. But those games, like you say, they don't start for about a month or so. So we're going to have a little bit of downtime before we get to see that. But to be honest, I'm really looking forward. I mean, there are only 32 teams left. They're the most successful women's club in terms of European competition ever. You know, I'll be really looking forward to seeing how they handle this Polish side. From a really small town, this Ratchaborg town is, you know, it's about half the population of the province of Kilis in Turkey. I mean, it's a little town. It's almost as small as the town I live in now in the U.S., which is pretty small, let me tell you.
So let me go on to some other news then. Galatasaray have signed Portuguese starlet Bruma from Sporting Lisbon. The transfer fee has reported to be 10 million euros. The player signs a five-year deal for 1 million euros for the first year, 1.1 million euros for years 2 and 3, and 1.2 million euros for years 4 and 5. Sporting Lisbon will get 25% of any future sale for the player. Fatih Terim has signed a two-year contract extension with Galatasaray. I just want to make a correction from 2 weeks ago. Terim will only coach the Turkish national team until May of 2014. He has signed a new contract extension with Galatasaray, so he'll be around for another two seasons after this season. Bursaspor have signed Colin Kazim Richards from Galatasaray. The transfer fee there is 250,000 euros. Ergiaspor have picked up Milan's Bakaye Traore on loan for this season. He will be paid 1.475 million euros by Ergiaspor. Now, I reported in the league review segment that Metin Diadin, the Gençler Birliği head coach, was ejected from the game. He has been suspended for one match and fined 13,000 Turkish lira for unsportsmanlike conduct towards a match official. Theofanis Gekas is back in Turkey. He signed a one-year contract with Konyaspor. Of course, if you remember from last season, with Akhisar Belediyespor scoring 12 goals in 15 appearances to keep Akhisar in the Super League. Goalkeeper Serkan Kırıntılı has joined Rizespor from Fenerbahçe. He signs a two-year contract there. Kırıkspor have taken Joseph Akpala, the Werder Bremen forward, on loan for this season. Antalyaspor have sold midfielder Ismail Asati to Russia's Terek Grozny for 3 million euros. 26 appearances for the Mediterranean club, Asati scoring 3 goals. And Beşiktaş have taken Corinthians left wingback Ramon Mata on loan for a year with an option to buy for 2.5 million euros. There was no loan fee in that deal. So the big news of the week was Bruma getting signed by Galatasaray. I knew there was Manchester United was going after him, but you know, Sporting Lisbon selling him to Galatasaray. I was reading somewhere that you know, they conducted negotiations in a fair way. That's what the Sporting Lisbon was saying. So Bruma was one of the stars for Portugal's under-20 team that played in Turkey during the U20 World Cup. So from what I've been hearing about this guy, he's sort of like a hybrid between Ronaldo and Figo, you know, coming from that Sporting Lisbon academy that did produce Cristiano Ronaldo. But the price, I mean, 10 million euros, I mean, wow. I mean, this guy must have a lot of potential for Galatasaray to dish out that money, and they probably will get a good chunk of it back, probably make a profit out of the deal if they play their cards right, and if Bruma plays his cards right. Obviously, he's probably going to be in the Champions League. He has been registered by Galatasaray for their Champions League run this season. And Sporting Lisbon getting 25% of any future sales. So it's not often we get to talk about, you know, youth players like this coming to Turkey. You know, it's just kind of strange. I mean, you know, I've never seen like a club, any Turkish club, shelling out, you know, that much money for somebody under 20. I think the last time somebody shelled out a good chunk of change was Beşiktaş back when they got Ayhan Akman some years ago. I think he went for like 6 million euros or something like that. But if the potential is there, the Galatasaray might have a diamond on their hands, and it might actually make financial sense for them if they should they decide to sell him off, because if he makes good with Gala, and if Gala is playing in Europe just about every season, well, you know, Bruma could be sold for a pretty good chunk of change to somewhere else, and Galatasaray can make a pretty good payday out of it. But for them right now, I mean, Bruma does have a lot of potential to star at Galatasaray.
Yeah, I think Bruma transfer is very exciting. You know, I wonder if it's any coincidence that he was, you know, as you say, second top scorer in the U20 World Cup, which was hosted by Turkey. Surely some Turks in the football world, you know, caught sight of this guy. Second top scorer, but get this, I mean, his side Portugal was eliminated in the round of 16. So it's not like he was just the top scorer because they had those three extra games and made it to the final or anything like that. So definitely an impressive player in that tournament, and one who's gotten a lot of attention. So I think, you know, Galatasaray was already pretty exciting before this. It's like sort of one of those teams with some big names on it and so forth. But older players who have sort of already passed their heyday. But like you said, this is sort of strange that we get somebody sort of, you know, a youth player, right? We're kind of used to seeing Turkey being a country where we get a lot of sort of, you could kind of put a negative spin on it and say like washed up players from better leagues and that kind of thing. But this is pretty exciting to see somebody this young starting out, you know, professionally like this in Turkey, in the Turkish Super League. So Galatasaray, this is a huge move. I think it's obviously good for them. It's just the more you read about Bruma, the more exciting he seems. You know, I hadn't heard of him before the U20 World Cup, to be honest, but I'm really excited to see how he fits in. Clearly, I'm not the only one.
Right. I mean, we never heard of Ali Adnan before the U20 World Cup, and look what he's done for Rizespor so far.
True. Goodness, that goal. I'm not going to be able to get over that, man.
Yeah. And, you know, Terim signing a two-year contract extension. You want to talk a little bit about Colin Kazim-Richards? You know, I did want to make a correction when Terim did get hired for the national team job. You know, I mean, he'll be sticking with Galatasaray for at least the next two seasons, so it's a little good thing for them. And Bursaspor signing Colin Kazim-Richards, you know, I used to remember that, you know, this guy wasn't too bad. I mean, he's bounced around in England on loan for a few years. I mean, just seemed more like of a party boy to me. But, you know, I think knowing him, you know, I guess maybe Bursaspor is his last chance to really make it in Turkey.
Yeah, of course, you know, he played for a few years at Fenerbahce and then a couple of years at Galatasaray, you know, before sort of bouncing around Europe, as you say, for the last season. But for Bursaspor, at least they know the guy is familiar with what things look like in Turkey in terms of professional football. And, you know, the party scene, probably not as distracting in Bursa than in Istanbul. But it is Colin Kazim-Richards. So I think if there is a nightlife in Bursa, then he'll find it. But hopefully his extracurricular activities aren't the main headline with him there. Bursaspor, of course, they got the win over last weekend, but prior to that, they just weren't looking too good with their quick exit from Europe, and then of course, you know, losing the first match of the season and drawing the second. They didn't have a lot of good news, but this might be a turning point for them. You know, I feel like Colin Kazim-Richards is maybe a safe bet for them, with that asterisk of can the guy sort of keep his behavior in check when he's not playing football.
Well, it's 250,000 euros, so Bursaspor got him on the cheap. So that's interesting there. And one other thing before I guess we could move on to the Turkish national team and their games this weekend for the international weekend is Theofanis Gekas is back.
And
he's playing for Konyaspor. You know, I guess he's sort of like that hired gun, you know. He's, you know, last season for Akhisar, he signed on for the second half of the season, and Akisar did stay up because of his goals. So I guess it's another lower end of the table team for Theofanis Gekas in Turkey. But, you know, he's become a pretty popular player. It's just sad that Akisar couldn't keep him, because I would have felt like he definitely could have helped Akisar out this season so far. But, you know, they're looking pretty decently. But good pickup for Konyaspor, in my opinion.
Definitely. I feel like if this guy wasn't 33 years old, he'd be sort of on the up and up. I mean, just given what he did for Akisar Belediye last season, he really sort of made that team fun to watch, because, you know, when he got the ball, you just didn't know what was going to happen. And Konyaspor, they could use a guy like this, definitely. And I think it makes Konyaspor a fun team to watch. This guy was awesome to watch the last half of last season when he transferred over to Akisar Belediye. So, you know, like you said, 12 goals and 15 appearances. I wonder if he'll make headlines again this season. Last season wasn't that long ago, is all I'm saying. And for a 33-year-old, he's got it. He's still got it.
Okay, so let's conclude the podcast this week with the Turkish national team for World Cup 2014 qualifying. Obviously, Fatih Terim, the coach for the next four games at the very least. And they will be playing Andorra and Romania. The roster is as follows: from Beşiktaş, Olcay Şahan, Gökhan Töre, Tolga Zengin, Ersan Gülüm, Özhan Özyalkup, and Mustafa Pektemek. From Fenerbahçe, Alper Potuk, Gökhan Gülül, Volkan Demirel, Caner Erkin, Hasan Ali Kaldırım, Mehmet Topal. From Galatasaray, Burak Yılmaz, Umut Bulut, Selçuk İnan, and Semih Kaya. Salih Dursun from Kayserispor makes the roster. From Trabzonspor, Onur Kıvrak and Aykut Demir. Arda Turan from Atletico Madrid. Nuri Sahin from Borussia Dortmund. Ömer Toprak from Bayer Leverkusen. Hakan Çalhanoğlu from Hamburg gets a call. And from Ren Mevlut Erdinç. The Andorra match will be held in Kayseri. And, of course, the main match that I'm really looking forward to is the road match against Romania, because, really, Turkey should be able to beat Andorra pretty easily. Now, Turkey, I believe, has 7 points so far. Romania has 10. Hungary has 11. Well, Hungary and Romania are going to meet up on Friday, which would be tomorrow as we're recording this. And it seemed to me like I'm going to be keeping my eye more on that match than the Turkey-Andorra match, because, I mean, if Turkey can't beat Andorra, they can't deserve a chance at the playoff spot, at least for World Cup qualifying. But let's take a look at the roster. The majority are from Beşiktaş and Fenerbahçe, which is sort of interesting because the last couple of times we saw a majority from Galatasaray and Fenerbahçe. Only four players from Galatasaray get called up, but it seems as though, you know, Burak Yılmaz, I mean, he was always going to get called up regardless, Selçuk İnan as well.
Sure.
Alper Potuk, Gökhan Gönül, and, you know, Hasan Ali Kaldırım, who hasn't really featured much for Fenerbahçe this season. And a good amount of Beşiktaş representation, but considering their form over the last 3 weeks, I mean, they should have called up, you know, for a while, I guess, you know, looking at the past 3 weeks. I mean, Gökhan Tori's been doing well. Olcay Şahan's been doing well. Özhan Özyalkup is doing well. You know, Tolga Zengin playing for Beşiktaş, you know, he's done pretty decently. And one thing that caught my eye was Hakan Çalhanoğlu. He did pick Turkey for his country that he will represent in the senior national level. And, you know, from what we remember from the Under-20 World Cup, Çalhanoğlu was pretty much one of the stars for Turkey during their run there. So big ups to Fatih Terim for recruiting him for the matches this weekend. But looking at the roster, you know, now we see a majority of Fenerbahçe and Beşiktaş players for this. You know, there were Beşiktaş fans complaining that, you know, none of their players seem to be called up for national team duty. But looking at this, it seems like it's a pretty decent roster. And, you know, the possibilities are pretty good for Turkey. And I guess really the main match that I'm concerned about is the Romania match, because obviously, Turkey should be able to beat Andorra, but I'm going to keep my eye on Hungary-Romania because that's going to be very important in terms of the standings going forward. But for Turkey, let's put it this way. It's basically win out and hope for the best.
Yeah, you've said it right there. Hungary-Romania, in case anybody's wondering, we've got to be hoping that's a draw. I mean, you know, it's really they're both leading Turkey in the standings. Hungary's got 11 points. Romania has 10. Compared to Turkey, 7. So, you know, it's not like we're going to come out of these next couple of games with a lot of really great news for Turkey, or like they're going to climb the standings a lot or anything like that. I don't think that's going to happen. But to kind of stop the bleeding, a draw on Friday between Romania and Hungary in Romania, I think, is what everybody should be hoping for there. And then Turkey just, you know, they have to win out, basically. I think Fatih Terim is up to the task. I am excited about the squad, like you say. It's nice to see, you know, a lot of the players who kind of play in Europe being called up as well. And this Hakan Çalhanoğlu, who you mentioned, I guess he's the youngest player on the team to be called up this time, only 19 years old and playing for Hamburger. So I think that's I think that'll definitely be an exciting guy to watch in Hakan there. So even the Andorra game, which is a given, you know, if this guy gets some field time, might be interesting to see how he does. Turkey at this point is obviously shooting for second place, in which case in the second place standings, their matches against Andorra won't likely matter because Andorra is looking very strong candidate for finishing last in the group. But there's still hope, so I guess that's a nice thing, right?
Right, there's still hope. I mean, you know, you were talking about the roster, and it seems pretty good to me. I mean, considering Beşiktaş's form, there should be a good amount of Beşiktaş players there. And I think I said it earlier, there were Beşiktaş fans complaining, like, why isn't our players being called up? And you know, I'm thinking, well, now they're getting called up. So
right. Still not a lot of Anatolian representation. Probably the least Anatolian representation we've ever seen, to be honest. That's usually the complaint we have. But,
yeah.
But you know, this time around, might as well play it safe, I guess. The sort of the days of experimentation were sort of used up, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that was really for the friendlies, and, well, Abdullah Avcı didn't do such a good job of that when he was manager, but
not so much.
Yeah. We'll have to see what happens for the next couple of days as the international games get underway there, but I think that's all I really have to talk about this week on the podcast. I mean, I think that's going to do it. So, I mean, do you have any final thoughts, or do you just want to go ahead and bump on out of here?
We can bump on out. I mean, I think, you know, if I was going to have any, if I was going to have anything to say, I'd sort of always give it a shout out for the lower leagues of Turkish football, like I usually do. The second division is starting their season this weekend, which is interesting to follow our Ankara team, Ankara Gücü, in playing their season debut. And in the first league, it looks like so far, obviously too early to really say, but it seems like the teams which were recently relegated from the Super League are looking to fight their way back, so we'll probably have more to say on that in the coming weeks, right. But really just looking forward to this international break, and it's a lot of stuff to talk about next week for sure, but it's a good weekend, Atta.
Yeah, definitely. I always look forward to the international dates. You know, there's something different about, you know, watching players, regardless of where they're from, playing for their country rather than playing for a club, because, you know, we're so used to seeing these players play for their club. It's nice to see how they could gel together within a international setup.
Right. It's a reminiscent of, reminds you of college sports, right? Where it's so much more about the glory than the paycheck. So I think that's what really does it for me.
All right. Well, that'll do it. Jeremy, thank you again for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Fun as always.
And we thank you for listening to Turkish Football Weekly this week, and we will see you all next time.